Good evening. Good to be with all of you here tonight. Tonight I've got it's a simple message and nothing profound, but it comes from God's Word, and I think it's something that's going to be valuable for us to look at. We're going to be looking at Philippians tonight. If you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bible, we're going to be reading quite a bit from the book of Philippians. In my study of Philippians, I've noticed that it's a different book than many of the letters that we see written to the individual churches. There's not a lot of rebuke that we see for specific actions here like we do in a lot of the letters. We see a specific instance addressing the disputes that Euodia and Syntyche had, but that's really the only very specific rebuke that we see. We primarily see in Philippians encouragement and praise of that church's actions. Paul seemed to be very happy with the way this church had performed and the success that they had had. He had a really strong connection with this group. Another thing that I noticed as I was studying, it's really amazing to read this book and think that Paul was in prison while he wrote this. The tone of the book just does not seem like it was written by someone that's in prison. It's such a joyful tone. And that's kind of the theme that Ross and I have come up with on the song service. There's a big theme of joy there. So tonight I want to go through the four chapters and look at some of the lessons that we can apply here in this group and in our lives. And we'll, like Ross said, we'll have a couple songs mixed throughout. So let's start in chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Here we see that Paul is just rejoicing in his communication with this group, and he's praising them for their performance so far, the good that they've been doing. I think it's easy for us to see here that Paul really loves this group. And he loves them for several reasons. He loves them for their fellowship that they have in Christ with him. And it's a family-like bond that he feels for them. And because of his love to them, they express love back to them, back to him, for what he did in starting that group and what he has done to support them. This is a group that also is one of the only ones that helped support Paul throughout his evangelism. So he feels a lot of love for him in that way. Paul received a lot of strength and encouragement from this group during his imprisonment. That had to be a really hard time for him. And his communications with this church were a big part of, I think, what helped him to get through that time and to stay positive and stay with that joyful tone. Let's go on to chapter 1, 12 through 26. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak to the world without fear. Some indeed preach Christ for envy and rivalry, others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Here we see again, Paul's talking about his imprisonment in a positive way. He says it has served to advance the gospel, and his imprisonment is for Christ. He's really made this a good thing. And his example during this time, it helped a lot of Christians. Helped them, like he said there, proclaim the word with confidence and boldness, even in the type of persecution they were enduring. This is a hard attitude to have, but I think it's a good attitude for us to try to have when suffering comes about. We've got to give God glory in whatever we're going through. And we got to be an example to those who are watching us. There's a lot of people watching us, and a lot of people that need encouragement. And if we can stand strong and show that God is the one that's getting the glory, then I think we can be an encouragement to a lot of people. At this point in Paul's life, he's come to the understanding that he would rather be in heaven than stay on earth and suffer. But he also recognizes that if he's going to stay on the earth, he's going to be able to do a lot of good. And he says that he's going to have fruitful labor and work for the advancement of the gospel. He knows that he's capable of that good work, and he's joyful in doing it. But he knows he's been able to see God enough that he knows that he would rather be in heaven with him. And what an example this is for us to look at. It's a really tough attitude to have. But I think if we can come to this perspective, we can be of great value to the spread of the gospel. And it's something, those that have that attitude are easily recognized in our world now. Because just like he talks about in here, a crooked and twisted generation, it's easy to stand out if you're living for the Lord. And at different points over the last few weeks, I felt overwhelmed. I felt like I was suffering in a way. I'm in the busiest time of the year for me at work. I've got meetings several nights of the week, and I've got people with me nearly until our office closes. Caroline and I just bought a house. We've been working in the afternoons and on the weekend, trying to get things done so we can move in. And then also trying to set aside time to study for this and prepare my thoughts. But when I really took a minute to step back and think about it, quickly realized that it's a blessing that I've got so many things to worry about, and that I have a good job, that Caroline and I have been blessed to be able to purchase the house, and that I've got an opportunity to worship with this group and have an opportunity to speak. So, you know, I think what we can take from that is, let's take a minute every now and then to step back and look. See what God has really given us. And if I wasn't blessed in those things, I wouldn't be worrying about them. But God has blessed us richly. Now, let's take a minute and think about the song Ross is going to lead us, "To God Be the Glory," number 4. I picked that song because I thought it was a good one to kind of display Paul's attitude as he has been going through all this. He realizes what God has done for him and what has been prepared for him, and he's going to give the glory to God no matter what. Let's look now, chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God, for it has been granted to you, that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." It's very likely that the Philippian group was facing persecution for their beliefs. And Paul's given them encouragement that they got to stand up against that. Paul encourages the brethren to essentially make their faith their own. We say that a lot. You've got to make your faith your own. We say that about children a lot of times when they're going off, leaving the house. They've got to make their faith their own. Paul's encouraging this group, don't depend on me for your strength and for your faith. You've got to make it your own, and you've got to stand up against this persecution. He tells them to live worthy of God, whether he's there or not. He encourages them to stand firm in the face of persecution. And to do that, they're going to have to work together with one spirit and one mind. He tells them that opponents are going to come, hard times are going to arise, but faith in God and his word is going to help them through. And to remember that the suffering that they're going to go through during that persecution is for the gain of Christ, just as Paul's imprisonment served as gain for the word. Let's think about those things in our group too. Let's go on now to chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father." The message here is heavy with put away selfishness and put on humility. Put others above yourself. Help them. And Paul points out here, the greatest example of that type of behavior is Christ. There in verses 6 through 9. Paul encourages them, go ahead and humble yourself and submit to God. Because one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. I think this is a message that we need to hear often. Because one way or another, we're going to submit to God and recognize His power. Whether it's now or when He returns. Let's think about that as we sing song number 221, Jesus, Name Above All Names.
Jesus, Name Above All
simple and a short song, but got a powerful message. Let's look now at chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Again, we see that Paul encourages them to seek their own faith and to continue in what he's taught them, even when he's not there to guide them. Do things without grumbling or disputing, to stand out even more as an example to that crooked and twisted generation that he speaks of. And again, if you do those things, stand out as a light. And it's obviously not easy to do those things. That's why he's reminding them of them. That's why I think it's been good for us to look at this. We can not talk in a lot about it, but just going through these passages, things good for us to be reminded of, good things for us to look at. Let's go on now to chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. From the Jewish perspective, Paul had a lot of the boxes checked to be considered righteous in their minds. But he says that that righteousness means nothing. He calls it rubbish. The true righteousness that he talks of can only come through faith in God. And through that faith, we're motivated to submit to God's will and pattern our lives after Christ. Christ has made us his own, he says. So because of that, let's seek to follow him more closely, knowing that he has made us his own. And also knowing that our citizenship is in heaven. That knowledge should help us to strive to have a relationship with Christ and work towards that home in heaven one day. Let's look at chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This passage really speaks for itself here. It's strong language and very, very direct about what it's saying. But as Paul's getting ready to wrap up here, I think he's kind of summarizing what he's called this group to do. And the things, if they hold to those, they will continue to have success. He says to think on these things and follow his example that he set. God's going to be with them. And the incredible thing for us is that we still have that example written down here for us to look at. Let's go on now to 11 through 13 of chapter 4. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthened me. Paul's been through a lot of trials. He's also had some good success. But through it, he's learned to be content in his trials, continue to work for the Lord, and give the glory to God. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Paul's truly experienced that. He knew what it meant to say something like that. Let us be content in our struggles and really take to heart the idea that we can do all things through Christ. Let us get our strength from Christ. There's a lot of things that we can take away from Paul's letter to the Philippians to better our service to God. God has a lot to offer for us. He's got the power to overcome sin. He can offer us comfort in our struggles, strength to overcome things, encouragement, and a home in heaven. As I was studying this, I started to wonder, if Paul was writing us a letter today, what would he talk about? There's no way to know for sure, but I bet it would have a lot of the same points. Because these are things that we're still dealing with, and that we deal with from day to day. Things that are important for us to keep in mind. Isn't it great to know that this is not even the only letter that we have to the churches? There's so many letters in the Bible that we can look to for an example, that have other examples other than this, specific instances that they address. And unlike those Christians, we've got it all written down for us. We can look at it all together. God's given us the resources that we need to follow Him and learn how to live as He would have us to. And Philippians is just a small part of that. But it's something I think is good to look at from time to time and remind ourselves of those things. If you're ready to give your life to God and take advantage of what He offers for us, or if you've stumbled and you need our prayers, please come forward and take advantage of that while we stand and sing.